Oklahoma City Public Schools, the state's largest school district, is moving forward with a plan to close as many as 15 schools before the start of the next school year. The plan, which was approved by the school board earlier this month, will also include the relocation of 17 other schools and represents a dramatic shift for an urban district attempting to respond to generations of enrollment declines. With dozens of neighborhoods losing a school, it now presents the district with a challenge to find new uses for those properties. I'm Ben Felder, and this is Oklahoman Unfolded. Today is Tuesday, March 19th. Tim Willert covers the Oklahoma City School District for The Oklahoman and has been following the school closure process for the past year. And Tim, how do we get to this point? Why are so many schools being closed by the district?
A lot of these classrooms are underutilized. They're not filling up seats, and they've got a lot of empty buildings that they're paying money to heat and cool and maintain. And that's a big part of it. The other part is there's a sense that not all students are receiving the same services and supports in certain areas. And one of the things Sean McDaniel, the superintendent, has pledge to do is bring equity to all 46,000 students in the district by, creating enough money to pay for things like counselors and teachers and fine arts programs and that sort of thing.
And this enrollment decline, I mean, it's nothing new for the district. I mean, they've seen their numbers decline steadily over the last, few decades. And you've seen the introduction of charter schools that are taking some students as well. And so some of these buildings that were built for two or three times as many students as they have now.
Right. And at the time they were built, they probably had that many students. But over the years, the enrollment has declined to a point where the district is set to lose $2 million. I believe from the state this year in attendance fees that they would normally be paid.
So with so many schools being closed, the district now finds itself with 15 buildings, as many as 15 buildings that it's going to have to find a use for. What is that process like? What is the district going to do with these buildings?
Well, Sean McDaniel, the superintendent, has said that he wants to bring value to the neighborhood. He doesn't want to board up a bunch of buildings and watch them, the neighborhoods around him decline. So he wants to bring in some community partners. He's talked to, the City County Health. He's talked to Children's Autism Program. He's talked to Get Start. He's talked to some other folks, to potentially come in and occupy those buildings. So, they do remain open. They do provide some value to the community.
And that's been an issue in the past. I mean, the district has closed schools over the years, and sometimes when those buildings are left empty, it's become kind of an issue for the neighborhood when now you have this massive empty building in the middle of your community.
Yes, and that's what he wants to get away from. If the buildings are going to be closed, he wants to either bring in other schools to occupy them, or like I said, bring in some community partners that can help enhance the community instead of having, the blight that some of these empty buildings, bring.
Are charter schools eyeing some of these buildings?
They are. In fact, four different charters have been offered spots, including Harding Charter Prep and Harding Fine Arts Academy, Kip Reach Academy, and Seaworth Academy is an alternative charter.
And you mentioned this earlier about kind of the purpose for this reconfiguration and these school closings, but what is the district hoping to achieve? I mean, by consolidating students into other buildings, what's the hope for the students that attend next year?
Well, I think what they're hoping is that they can actually decrease class sizes by bringing in more teachers and having smaller classes. Right now, some of these, in many of these schools, they might have one teacher per grade band. And so they want to bring in more teachers to do that. They're going to expand classrooms but reduce class sizes. That's the plan. They also want to bring, different programs to all schools. And a lot of schools don't have, arts programs and music programs and PE programs. And so they want to provide those for students in every part of the city.
Yeah, so trying to improve that service for all students, but a big shift to get to that point.
Yeah, I think there's a big concern that, you know, A, are they going to be able to, they're not only relocating students, they're reconfiguring schools. And so in a lot of situations, an elementary school is going to be turned into a middle school or is going to be occupied by a high school. And so you've got to go and you've got to change so many things, whether it's an auditorium or a playing field or a, you know, a bathroom, you know, because you've got little kids going there, and then you're going to have older kids or, you know, adults attending. So there's a concern that it's going to be tough to do all this by the start of school in August.
Yeah, a monumental shift for the state's largest school district. And Tim, we know you're going to continue to follow it. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Also making news in the Oklahoman, a meeting of the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority Board scheduled for Thursday was canceled after Governor Kevin Stitt signed a bill last week to reorganize the board. The 7-member board is being replaced with a 9-member board, with the governor appointing 5 members. On Monday, Stitt announced his appointments to the Healthcare Authority Board, along with 2 other state agency boards. More than half of those 15 board appointments announced on Monday are women, but of the 14 cabinet positions Stitt has filled, just 3 are female. However, all 3 female nominees are the first women to hold their respective secretary positions. That does it for today's Oklahoman Unfolded. I'm Ben Felder. See you tomorrow.